What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
In the co-pilot seat, riding shotgun. And with us today, Dan Trawicki from SCI, my bro, my partner, a very good friend of mine, and a man I look up to for hunting not only the great state of Wisconsin.
Is it because he's taller than
Wisconsin.
You? Or?
Don't be a jerk about it.
You need to raise the bar, Joel.
I'm not a short man, Danielle. Okay?
Who's taller?
Just because I'm fat doesn't mean
You're
I'm short.
You're not fat.
I'm not very tall, but at least I'm not very skinny. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
So funny. We haven't got any dad joke yet.
You know, I got jet lag. What do you want? What do you expect from me? I have jet lag.
Jet lag? Oh,
two
Joe
days
Clayfish,
ago.
Tell me where you were.
2 days ago, my wife and I had our 25th wedding anniversary.
Happy Yay. Anniversary.
Yeah, 25th wedding anniversary. Calvin, what do you think about it? Calvin's filling in for Jess, the producer, today. She's
Hi,
a bit
Calvin.
Under the weather. Calvin, good to have you, brother. What are you now? What are you saying? These guys just called me fat. And now you're calling me old.
Don't say these guys.
Calvin's just calling himself young. He's not calling you
he
old.
Is
He's
young.
Calling himself.
First
Calvin's
of all,
young.
I think that Rebecca is an absolute saint. Absolutely
well,
let's pick
a on
saint.
Joel Day. I'm sorry.
So wait a minute. Now I'm fat, old, and miserable.
No, right in a row.
Right in a row. Oh my gosh. No, we
you
were.
You look very nice and green.
Now I'm fat, old, and sickly looking.
What?
Well, I don't
green
look. You mean my
shirt.
Green shirt? Okay.
Yes.
I look tan, don't I?
You look very tan.
You can get tan in the Alps. Let me tell you, you are closer
Ooh,
to the sun.
There it is, the Alps. What
we
were,
were in
the
Alps.
Alps.
We were in Austria. But I'm gonna say we're gonna save that for a minute because I want to get to our weekly Wisco. First off, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome for our loyal listeners. Thank you so much. We really appreciate having you along on the ride on Raised in Wisco, a show. Ooh. That talks about why the great state of Wisconsin is as great as it is and what you can do to bring food from the field to the table and enjoy Wisconsin's great outdoors. It really is the greatest place on earth to be from
it
and to live and to eat. That is what I have learned. Traveling the world and the United States, I have learned Wisconsin really is like the greatest place to eat. We have the most variety and most authentic cultural foods here. It's unbelievable. So that kind of leads me into our weekly Wisco. Now, I've just been here for a day this week. And I woke up at 4:30. My jet lag had set in. Ooh. So my weekly Wisco is it is scouting time. If you're a waterfowl hunter, we got the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo at the Sunnyview Expo Center in
Seven
Oshkosh.
7 days, 13 hours, and 22 minutes, if anybody's counting.
Wow. Danielle, that's really good. Holy
well,
cow.
Do you
want
to know why I am
why
so excited that? About this? For one, they have the countdown on their page, so I look at it constantly. But
is
they
this
have,
like the early goose season or something? Is it
no,
like,
yeah,
September
1st? No,
is
no, no.
Early goose.
She's talking about until the Waterfowl Hunters Expo.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
that's
oh,
on
okay.
August 24th. Okay. So I said 8 a.m. But that is in Oshkosh at the Sunnyview Expo Center, and that's we have the first ever women's zone. So for women by women in the corner, we had Connie Markham on the radio last week.
Awesome.
And she did phenomenal explain it. She put this all together, the women's zone. And that's just why I was super excited because it's the first ever Wisconsin, the women's zone. So.
The women's zone at the yes. Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo is the largest Waterfowl Hunters Expo in the state. Danielle and I mean, between you and me, we're involved with just about everything at this expo.
Yes.
The Fowl Life is a main sponsor. Jargon Banded, we got a statewide calling contest mm-hmm. of which the winner goes to the United States National Calling Contest. Woo. The winner of that. Tons of prizes. We're going to be giving out food. I'm doing a cooking demonstration on the main stage. I think I figured I may give a little hint. I may talk about what I'm going to cook because I think I've settled it. And I'm kind of excited about it, but it's going to be a lot of prep work. But I'm jacked about it. It's going to be good. Danielle Fairman is going to be a highlight of the Women's Zone, the first ever Women's Zone at the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo. Come see us.
Absolutely.
Get there. Seek us out. Tell us, hey, I listen to you guys on Raised in Wisco. Feel free to tell us what you love about the show. And if there's something you'd like us to do to have on the show that you think would make it better, tell us that too. We're
Joel,
easy going
folks.
Let me
digress for a second. Is Todd Schaller part of that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Todd Schaller rules, man. That guy's awesome. Former chief warden of the state Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Warden's Force. he's like huge, huge.
Yeah,
organizer.
I knew he's a super big waterfowl hunter, and so, I mean, I was a cop for 34 years. I worked for the sheriff's department.
You were the sheriff. You were the sheriff.
Yeah, so
you were them.
You were the sheriff.
But the point of the deal is, there's a lot of people around who have sort of a bad view of game wardens.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate. And I just have to say, and I've told this to him personally, Todd Schaller, who was the chief warden, the number one guy, was a guy that I could always call and say, Todd, let me just ask you about the situation. And he is and was such a level-headed,
reasonable,
good guy, reasonable guy. The state of Wisconsin lost, a wonderful representation of
no
game
doubt.
Wardens when Todd retired.
As I feel they lost a wonderful representation of law enforcement when you retired.
Kind
As
not.
The state mourned a state representative when I retired.
Indeed. 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 Todd's a class guy, though. Todd is
Yeehaw.
A class guy.
Todd's great. Class act. See him up there. He's there the whole day as well.
Okay.
George Ermert from the Waterfowl Association. Oh, yeah. Listen, if you listen to this show and you say these guys are out of their minds with their waterfowl duck and goose hunting.
Yes.
What's
right.
it about? If you've never done it, if you want to try it for the first time, go to this event, and it's like $7 to get in or something like that, so it's super cheap. The best callers in the state and even in the country are going to be there. The best dog folks, the best boat, waterfowl hunting boat guys.
The decoys,
the best
everybody.
Food people, how to prepare wild game
yep.
and put it on the table. I'm going to be handing out samples. I mean, please come to this event. If you have even the remote interest, you don't even have to have interest in hunting. If your boyfriend or girlfriend says, well, I'd like to learn more about the outdoors, I want to run into Danielle and Joel, talk to him about Raised in Wisco. Come to this event.
Absolutely.
Because you will have a great time. There's a ton of free stuff, ton of prizes to win. And it is so not boring. Like, if you're looking for something to do, and it's a week before the goose season starts.
There must be a website that you can
Yeah, you can go to the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo. I think you just put that.
Yep.
.com. And you can check out the website. It's just a phenomenal
event. You can go on their Facebook page, buy tickets right there, and it tells you everything that Joel and I are both saying. And you can see Joel right down at the bottom when you scroll down, when you meet the experts.
I have a commercial on there I'm pretty psyched about. And drive up I-41 because I'm on a billboard.
No, you're
I have,
not.
I am. I have not been on a billboard since I was at Channel 12.
What are you on the billboard for?
Well, hunting.
Well,
duh.
But for what? What are you
Chad doing? Belding and I from The Fowl Life are on the billboard. Fowl Life, main sponsor of the event.
That
and,
is awesome.
We're sitting
That's cool.
We're sitting in a blind. And okay. I haven't been on a billboard since.
Will you be recognized or will you have like face paint?
No, I don't
camo?
Have face paint. I do have sunglasses on the billboard. I'll pull up. Yeah, I'll pull
I
up.
I really want to know now.
And show you the billboard. It's pretty cool, but it's a Hunters Expo billboard. So come
awesome.
See us while you're up there at the Oshkosh Sunnyview Expo Center this Saturday. Meanwhile, make sure you listen to us here on every civic media station throughout Wisconsin, 13 of them, every major market in Wisconsin. We've got people joining the show every week. It's growing like crazy. We thank you for that. We love having you along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to us on civic media. Let us know what you'd like to hear about from Wisconsin, because that's what we're about. And one of the cool things about Wisconsin is that it is the hub of all outdoor activity 24/7 every day of the year. So that brings me back to my weekly Wisco, which was get your butt out of bed in the morning and scout. Now is the time. If you're a waterfowl hunter, if you're a turkey, fall turkey hunter, or a deer hunter, scouting is like, you think, oh, come on, we got a month until opening. Well, I hate to break it to you,
Everybody
folks.
Everybody else is doing the same
We're
thing.
Like
get out there and
16
do it.
Days away from the goose season opening. And that means we're less than 30 days from the turkey and deer season opening. Mourning doves is opening. The bear hunters are already at it up north. That starts this month. So get out there. I was scouting this morning, and I have noticed that I didn't notice earlier. There's water in places this year that there was not water
this year.
There's
so much rain this year.
It's
so
awesome.
So much rain.
And there's geese. And
everywhere.
Ducks everywhere. And then my buddy called me on the scout trail this morning. He saw a legit albino turkey.
No, he did not.
Yeah, well, there are leucistic turkeys out there. Yep. And there's one kind of in the Sullivan area.
It wasn't just someone's pet turkey.
It was not. It's not a pet turkey because sometimes wild turkeys, Dan, you've encountered this. You're a huge turkey hunter.
Yeah.
Where they'll breed, they'll interbreed with a domestic turkey, sure. And they get some colors on them, right?
Sort of a mottled look, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one while you're hunting?
Mm-hmm. Never have.
No. Well, this one's kind of, I think the actual scientific word for it is leucistic. Hmm. A leucistic turkey with lacking in pigmentation. I don't know if it's actually albino, but it's pretty cool. So that's my weekly WISCO. Get out there and scout. Knock on the farmer's doors. You're going to find water in fields where you haven't before. That I don't care if there's birds in it when you drive by it or not. If you are in the Lake Country area or any area in the listening area in the state of Wisconsin on the Mississippi Flyway, if you got a pile of water in the middle of a field, you could on any given day throw up a blind and some decoys out and have a chance at shooting birds in Wisconsin because they're looking for those low spots and they love them when they're in the middle of fields, don't they, Daniel?
They do. They absolutely do. And speaking of weekly WISCO, I purchased stuff for the hunting because 25% off is going on with Lucky Duck, and I just bought so much stuff. I'm so happy. So excited.
What did you get?
I got a couple mojos, some dove decoys, a remote control dove decoy, bags, Texas rigs, like all the fun things.
Holy cow. Well, listen.
I'm excited. Well, this is my first. Okay, so everybody knows I left my ex-boyfriend. But he
wait, does everybody know that? They do now.
Okay, well,
that.
Everybody knows now they know that I bought the stuff for inside the house. He bought stuff for outside of the house. Therefore, he bought all the decoys and all that kind of stuff. And so when I left him, I have no decoys. I got the dog.
You got Bandit.
I got
you got the,
dog.
The better end of that
I
deal.
I did. Look at him. He's so handsome he lays down.
Yes.
But so I had to go buy some silhouettes. And then I bought a couple dove decoys, a couple of mojos, bags, and Texas rigs.
But man, now that you got that big fancy job, you're just dropping cash like it's no problem, Danielle.
I just bought ladder stands at Cabela's. Cabela's ladder stands are on sale. Like, I need any more ladder stands.
That's definitely you do not need ladder stands, Dan. No.
But now my weekly WISCO, I'm doing a Whiskey Waters bass tournament tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm
that's
very
exciting.
Excited.
Out on Okauchee Lake.
Exactly, yep.
How
I'm
fun.
Very excited.
Well, I think that is a great weekly WISCO. I can tell you, I'm going to hit the scout route tomorrow with Woody and Ian Kittrell and Jack Klobuchar. We're going to meet
have some
lunch at home and some wild game of some sort on the grill, and we're going to hit the scout route together, and that's always
just
a blast.
Like
I cannot wait to tell you guys about my trip to Austria and the weird thing that has two different names, even in Europe.
Oh.
That I hunted and ate while I was there. And that's our recipe segment today. We're going to talk about Wiener Schnitzel. You got to listen. And Lederhosen.
Firewood crackle in the fall air. Red dirt playing on a radio. Big Dipper hanging high up there. Breathe in the backwoods and let it go.
That's my man, Chase Rice, was at Summerfest. Got to go backstage, hang out with him a little bit. He was playing one of the big stages there, and he's just a great guy. But he's awesomely involved in the outdoors. And we're going to get him here on Raised in WISCO, which is what you're listening to, Raised in WISCO on... Kelvin.
Remix!
Whoop. It's like one of those rewind moments.
Yep.
Raised in WISCO is your place to learn about the great state of Wisconsin and the outdoors in general and how to best soak what you can out of it. If you're sitting on your couch and you're playing Candy Crush, put it down,
absolutely,
folks. Put it down. Danielle Fairman, I'm your host, Joel Clay. That's Danielle Fairman. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Raised in WISCO is on 13 stations on your civic media stations. Find us on Saturdays and Sundays at...
Just Saturdays.
Just find us on Saturdays. Saturdays at 11 a.m. on any civic media station from Waukesha to Eau Claire to up north to the Racine-Kenosha area.
To up north.
Anywhere up north. Hayward.
Hey.
Wherever you go, Hayward. And so I've got, you know, we talked about our weekly WISCOs, and it's really time to buckle down and get ready for the hunting season because it is upon us. Everybody's kind of shipping back to college and school right now. We got taking my daughter, both my daughters are moving permanently to Texas. One of them's got, you know, I have done, my wife and I are dealing with it very differently. She is a wreck, and
yes.
I have ignored that it's happening. So what's going to happen is when it happens, she's going to be much more mentally prepared for it. Well, I don't know if that's true, but when it happens, I'm going to be like curled up like an amoeba in the corner, just shaking. I can tell because without my kids around, who do think I'm the funniest person alive, which I thrive on because I know I'm not actually, I'm going to have a really hard time. But it is time to get out there and scout. It's time to make your plans. Your food plots should be planted if you're doing that. Danielle just bought a whole bunch of waterfowl stuff today.
Let's go.
Dan Trawicki, who's our guest from Safari Club International SCI, cohort of mine. We get to work together on the government affairs stuff, which has gone fantastic this past session. And we expect to go in the right direction again, as long as we hold those members of the legislature past this election who support the outdoor causes. And that's been a fun ride. But I got to tell you, I had one of the most incredible experiences of my life.
Yes.
We just got back from Austria. Becky and I, my wife and I, took a trip to Austria for our 25th wedding anniversary.
Sounds perfect.
We spent 3 days in Vienna. And, you know, I love artifacts and historical things. And there's stuff in Vienna. The Romans first controlled it. Then it was the Austro-Hungarian Empire. With the Habsburgs, who ended up being the kings and queens of Spain and Austria. It was like the hub of Europe. It was unbelievable. But then I got a chance to hunt in the Austrian Alps.
Oh, that has to be absolutely beautiful.
It was unbelievable. I would not be able
to. It's like the screensaver on your computer.
It was unbelievable.
The pictures that you showed me.
And I showed Dan and Danielle, Dan Trawicki and Danielle, I showed them a picture of like my, in Europe, they take it so seriously. They're like traditions and they're hunting clothing. It's insane.
Yes.
So
we need to put this picture that we're talking about.
Well, that's fine. We can put the picture on the website. Let me try to explain it. In Europe, it's a very prim and proper. Maybe that's not exactly the right word, but it's very specific. They wear very specific clothing. Very traditional.
Very traditional.
They wear lederhosen, okay, which is a handmade pants, short pants, like pants that come just above the knee, and they're made out of the skin of a red stag.
Oh.
And they're hand sewn. And some of these lederhosen, a lot of them that the guides wear are they are made with, they're hand embroidered and hand stitched.
They are
like,
beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're like $1,700 to have a custom pair of these made.
What?
It's insane. Yeah, absolutely insane. And then they wear a European hunting hat, a very traditional hat, which is either made of brushed wool or rabbit fur that is shaved down till it is a felt hat. And then they have what's called a Gamsbart in the back of it. And a Gamsbart is an area, a pin you put in the back of the hat. It's so fascinating. This whole stuff is so fascinating.
I did not see that in the picture.
A sprig of the hair of the animal that you harvest.
Oh.
And then that is your way of paying homage to the animal that you harvest. And when you go back to camp, you don't brag about what you did because the other fellow hunters say, Heidmann's Heil, which means hail to the hunter, because they see that, and then that lets them know you harvested something.
That's wonderful.
Without bragging about it.
It's like
very
that.
Proper.
Yeah, and isn't it sort of a traditional experience with the animal as well, where when the animal is harvested, a lot of times they'll put the sprig or like the last meal in the animal's mouth.
And yeah.
It's a very, very, very cool traditional honoring the animal.
No doubt
I
about
like
it.
I like that.
So I was going to get, that's a great point, Dan, and you're right. They call it the last bite, and they have a very high level of respect. And, you know, we've talked on this show a lot about how having respect for an animal and going out there and harvesting your own game is actually, you know, more ethical, or at least as ethical, if not more ethical, harvesting your own, learning how to prepare it to bring it to the table as an animal that was grown in a cage, killed in a cage for you to buy and make food out of, right? And so to be, you know, to be perfectly clear about it, they have a very high level of respect for the animal they're hunting. So when you hunt an animal, you and harvest that animal, they give the animal its last meal. It's called the last bite. So you're never allowed to take a photograph or anything with the animal that does not at least have a sprig, usually a pine bough, because that's what was in the Alps, in their mouth. And then you take a piece of that bough and put it on the right side of your hat. And that also shows that you are one with the animal that you're taking, and it is going to feed you.
That.
And then you have this in the side of your hat. And then they have the gamsbart, and it's called the gamsbart because what we hunted was called a gamsbuck. Not to be confused with what they hunt in South Africa called, or Africa called a gemsbok, which is a totally different type of antelope. This is a goat from the mountains. Gamsbok is what they call it. And we've got an amazing recipe coming up. And I'm on talk about this. There's so much to talk about. It's fascinating. But so you put that sprig in, and there is the hunt itself is conducted differently. First of all, they don't wear camouflage, okay? Because there's this mentality that you don't need, you are good if you can fool Mother Nature to get close enough to harvest the animal without being part of the landscape. It's like almost you don't want to give yourself too much of an advantage while you're hunting them.
Did they allow you to wear camouflage?
They did allow it, and I did wear camouflage because that's all I brought along. But yep. I got to tell you, when I hunt Europe again, I'm going to wear traditional hunting clothing from Europe because it's really, really cool aspect of it. And I cannot wait. You're going to freak out when you hear about how my hunt went down because I thought I was going to die on the side of the mountain because the hills would have been...
At least it's pretty out there.
The hills would have been dead in the Sound of Music if I would have had to take many more steps up. It's crazy. Raised in Wisco.
Woo!
This is it. On your civic media stations throughout Wisconsin, listen to us Saturdays at 11 o'clock, and you will get to know everything you care to learn about how to cook, hunt, fish, kayak, mountain bike. Danielle's video camera. You messed it up, Danielle,
didn't
you?
I went to go pet my dog, and it followed me, but it didn't follow me back up.
It didn't follow you back up. It's stuck on Bandit the dog.
No.
And...
It feels like Wally.
It does. It looks like Wally. We're talking about the fantastic hunt that I had in Austria, in the Austrian Alps. So now, if you know me, I make a lot of fun of myself for being like fat and out of shape. But the fact is, I'm now just regular fat.
Oh.
I used to be like super fat. Dan, you knew me when I was super fat, didn't you?
You were never super fat.
I weighed 310 pounds, Dan.
310 pounds?
Yeah, I was super fat.
Edging towards that, but never actually super fat.
Well, that was when I had the come to Jesus meeting with my doctor and said I better do something. That was back when I quit drinking 14 years ago and I started getting myself in healthier shape. I hope if you're watching us online, you're living through the earthquake that is happening while we're trying to fix Danielle's camera here. There we go.
Good job, Calvin.
Good enough. Way to go,
Yay,
Calvin.
Calvin.
Three cheers for Calvin.
Whoop, whoop.
And
thank you.
And I trained at my level. Now I'm 53 years old, so I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I trained at my level running and jogging, walking, and working out to get ready to hunt in the Swiss, in the Austrian Alps. This is not an easy go. This is not a gimme.
No, it does not look like it.
So we started, we drove to about 5,000 feet above sea level. Now, the air's thinner there to begin with. Now, most people don't have, alpine sickness or elevation sickness at that point. But then the guide gets out and he's got, his calves look like footballs each, right? He's 60 years old.
And you can see it in the Lederhosen.
In the Lederhosen. He's got... And we'll talk about how funny all the words are in Austria. Everything's like Lederhosen, Wiener Schnitzel, ja. Und wir going to eat Wiener Schnitzel in a Lederhosen, ja.
Please tell me you were not doing that there.
Oh, for sure. And I was fake yodeling. Oh, it was fun.
Yeah.
And every word is like got the word wiener in it or hosen or schnitzel or like come on. Like the word for road is like or a stop or exit is some one of the roads is like Einfahrt.
Yep, that sounds great.
It's a very guttural language. And so I'm half, so we get out and we're climbing, we're scaling, we're literally, mountain climbing, alpine mountain climbing. And he looks and he's like, "Oh, it's, we get there." You know, he had a very thick, "We get there." And so I'm thinking, all right, I'm set. This is what I trained for. I'm getting ready to do this. Let's go. And like a half hour in, we progress probably 500 feet higher. A half hour after that, we're another 500 feet. We're now, so now we're at like, 6,500. Then we're at 7,000. I am sweating. It's like 60 degrees. It's cool mountain air. I'm struggling. Like breathing enough oxygen is really hard.
What are you carrying with you?
Well, I was wearing long pants and a long shirt and, a gun and a backpack with water, just water. Cause I'm stopping every 20 yards drinking water. And I'm thinking one of two things is going to happen here. I will die on this mountain or I will have one of the greatest hunts of my life.
Either or.
And
one or the other.
Sometimes, I mean, Dan, you've been to this place. But I mean, you've been to this place in your mind before. Dan runs Ironman triathlons. You've been to that place where you think this is either going to be the end or something I celebrate the rest of my life. You've been on hunts
They're
like
tough
that,
hunts.
Too.
They're tough hunts, no doubt about it.
And I'm thinking to myself, and I couldn't do 1/20th, 1/100th of what Dan could do or Danielle, what you could do, frankly. And I'm thinking to myself, I have nothing left. I can't hardly breathe. Like, I'm breathing as hard as I can. My heart rate's at, like, 160. And
right.
I'm going up the side of the mountain where the air is thinner. My legs are done. My joints are sore. My cardiovascular is not keeping up. And I say to him, how much more?
Can you see the animal at this
point?
No.
We're in the pines, in the tree line at like around 7,000 feet.
So there's no light at the end of the tunnel. You have no idea.
And he's just a little bit more, he's saying. And I'm going, okay, please. So another 15 minutes later, and I'm stopping every 20 yards, and he's looking back at me a little bit. So all of a sudden, we stop, and we're above the tree line.
Oh.
We're above the pine line, and you see these limestone outcroppings on the crests of the mountain. And I put my binoculars up to my eyes, and I start seeing these gamsbuck or chamois on the rock edges. And you say to yourself, holy cow, if I had not done that, if I had not just put myself through hell, I would never have seen this. How many people get to see this in their lifetime? And the one I'm looking at is, I said, okay, I ranged it. It's 400, yards, 400 plus yards. And he's looking at me like trying to determine, is this crazy American a good shot or not? How comfortable you feel? I said, how accurate's the gun? And he came over and he clicked it. And it made me nervous because he clicked the turret like, dig, 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 dig. And then he looked up at it again and he looked back and he went, dug, dug, back a couple. And I'm thinking, he has no idea like how this gun's going to shoot. I went prone on the ground on the backpack. And I watched it drop. And it dropped like off a cliff.
Oh, my goodness.
And I looked to him and I'm like,
ground meat.
We go get it? And he's like, he laughs. He's like, no, 3-4 hours just to get there.
Oh, no.
So then I'm hunting with a friend of mine, Ken Kindler, and there's another one comes out 250 yards away, like half the distance. And it's beautiful, huge, beautiful. And so he puts a shot on that and it goes down and it's down a valley and up the side, but it's in a grassy area. I didn't fall anywhere. And so he says, he looks at me and I must've looked like I was about to die because he says, you stay here, you stay here, mister. So, Rudolph, our guide, and Ken go. 2 hours later, they come back. Just 250 yards took them 2 hours. It's getting dark.
Oh no.
And we're in the Alps. It's getting dark and they come back and Rudolph's got the gamsbuck in a backpack on his back. Aww. He did this all with it on his back.
Of course he did.
Was this now yours or Ken's?
This was Ken's.
Okay.
So I said, you know, okay, now I'm very nervous because anytime, Dan can tell you, and Danielle, you know this, anytime you shoot a deer or an animal and you don't retrieve it, you don't, you know, see it right away, it's dead out of it, you know, it's, mm-hmm. you're putting it out of its misery.
Yep.
It's a very nerve-wracking feeling. And so he's like, we go back tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, what time are we getting up to go there? He's like, he looks at me, he's like, you never make it. You never make it.
All right.
And I'm like, okay, I'll sleep in. And they went and it took 5 hours. They had to have climbing equipment, rappelling equipment.
No.
They had to rappel down the rock face of this thing. Gut it, hook it up, put it in his backpack.
He did tell you to shoot that one, right?
Yes. No, he did. Yes. Yeah. He said, if you feel comfortable, shoot it. I don't think he thought I'd ever hit it. And it was a perfect ethical shot right through the boiler room. You know, it was dead immediately. And it was such an incredible experience. The next day, he texted me on the phone, meet me in the parking lot, and they had the animal to take pictures. He brought the sprigs of green down for the last bite.
That's
and
wonderful.
One to put in my hat. And it was and talked, and we took pictures, and he had her. And since then, like now, I bought the European hunting hat. I bought lederhosen.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, Joel, I was going to say, too. No, I do not. Although I have gone to Bavarian, like, parties at times when I've borrowed lederhosen.
You borrowed lederhosen.
But,
that's
you know,
fun
for
word.
Listeners who may not know, a chamois or chamois, probably like an 80-pound animal or so. I mean,
sure.
They're not big.
They're not
so,
huge.
So when you say you're putting them in a backpack, you know, I don't want people to think it's like a red
elk.
Stag or
yeah.
an elk
no,
or something.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're beautiful alpine animals, but probably around
60, 80 pounds probably.
Yeah. Beautiful markings, beautiful.
I mean, they are just incredibly unique. Look it up, chamois or gamois. M-S-B-O-K. That's how they spell it in the different countries. And then we had the tenderloins from it, and we were going to cook with it, which
Ooh.
I'm super excited to talk about because – and we go back, and at this point, I can't tell you. I was so exhausted, so beyond
Probably.
Exhausted. Even the next day, it seemed surreal to me. But I thought to myself – had I never had the guts to try it, to try this experience, to get out there and push my limits, because what it did for me, being able to accomplish that hike through the Alpine Mountains and get to that elevation where I could, breathing was, you know, much harder because of the less oxygen in the air, and then accomplishing getting this animal that I was now going to be able to eat, it gave me this bizarre, like, confidence in life, really.
You like, haven't experienced with all the other hunts that you have been on?
I have experienced that before, but I never pressed my body physically to this limit before.
Oh, all right.
And Ken, the guy I'm with, he's a former Army dude, and he's, you know, he's used to, like, grueling physical
events.
No. That's how I knew it was actually that's how I knew it was actually a good workout, because he came back, he's like, that was one of the toughest hunts I've ever been on.
Oh,
and for
wow.
him to say that
and then for you to do
meant,
that.
No,
oh,
no,
absolutely.
Trewicki would have been like, yeah, that was all right.
That's my Sunday
that
afternoon.
Right. That's
oh,
my Sunday
no, those
afternoon.
Are tough hunts. Those are tough hunts. They are.
But do you guys know what I'm talking about when you have that hunt? And I'm not saying it's unique to that hunt, because I think that experience, that kind of confidence and self growth and personal growth. Growth and awareness of yourself happens every hunt to mm-hmm. some extent.
It does, and not necessarily just on a hunt. You know, like on any physical activity or whatever you're doing, even mentally sometimes, when you push yourself to the limits of what you have and you realize you have absolutely nothing left, it's a very humbling experience, but it's a growing experience, you know, because you're better because of it mentally, you're better because of it physically. And you realize, they always say, especially in physical effort, when you think you're done, when you think you're absolutely done, you still have 40% left.
Yes.
You just have to
really?
Mentally reach for
it.
This
it's
has got to be an Iron Man thing. You're
yeah, it's
out
there.
For us,
you
Dan.
Just have to dig for it.
The only
it's
way
there.
Only way I have to experience that is I have definitely not done the Ironman, but I have done tough mudder. That's 12 miles.
Yep.
Wow.
With
that's impressive.
12 obstacles in between.
That is very impressive.
And the things that they had us do, I'm like, there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can run 12 miles with muddy boots through all these obstacles, ice baths, jumping off cliffs. Like, jeez.
And I think
I did it.
And that's an incredible experience. And I mean, literally, there have been times where I've gone hunting with a group of people and you have 150 pounds of decoys on your back and you got to get 250 yards into the cornfield and set up and then pack out with three or five geese on your back that you feel that same way when you're done.
Yep.
And it's just one morning. And what that does for me, now I'm a person, I've got a certain level of anxiety. I've got anxiety about things in life. And I'm telling you, the more you do things like this, the more your self-confidence of what you can actually accomplish grows. I have, you know, there was a time in my life where I couldn't row. I was rowing. I was a legislator at the time. I was rowing down a Wisconsin river and I got overheated and got heat exhaustion, nearly heat stroke, and had to be raced to the hospital put on to IVs. This was when I was in the worst shape of my life, drinking more than I should have. And my brain still very often goes to that moment. And these moments in life let me know that my physical ability and my mind can take me further than it used to be able to take me. And there is nothing more satisfying than doing that.
Yep. No, absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah. And I can't wait to talk about, we're going to talk about chamois or Gamsbach Wiener Schnitzel and a couple weird words. And we're going to talk with Dan about the fact that SCI can help you in Wisconsin. It's one of the best places to be from if you want to travel somewhere else on your vacation. Get out there and adventure. This is Raised in Wisco. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media Station, Saturdays at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman
Hello.
Is riding shotgun, and we are talking about some really exciting stuff. The hunt
the
I got
stuff,
to have.
Like Kenny Chesney,
the good stuff. I got to experience Austria and the Austrian Alps with my wife on our 25th wedding anniversary. I had a hunt of a lifetime there, climbing the Alps, testing my body to its limits, putting a perfectly great shot on an animal. And Dan Trawicki's been here with us. You know, he works for SCI. I work with him for SCI. If you live in Wisconsin, you really have one of the premier places to learn about how to experience hunting and culture of other places, not only in the state, but in the rest of the country and the rest of the world.
Oh, for sure. For sure. 100%.
I mean, what, you know, Dan, your experience resume of hunting spans the world. And a lot of it is because, is it not, you know, because of your association with SCI?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you learn so much about different places and different things from the relationships that you have there. I'll give you a classic example. Now, in Wisconsin, we've got like five chapters. So we have the Wisconsin chapter out of Milwaukee area, the Bow chapter that we're a part of, which is sort of in Pewaukee. Madison, Badgerland has a chapter. Green Bay, Northeast has a chapter, and Lake Superior has a chapter. So they all have their banquets. But my daughter and I, my daughter's 30, lives in Madison, and so we've always hunted together. And through Safari Club, we knew a ton of people that had gone to Argentina on a big game hunt.
Nice.
And so this is something that comes up on auction. You know, we have big auctions Friday and Saturday at our banquet. So, I mean, when you think of big game hunting, I bought this hunt on auction for
$3,000. $3,000.
Okay? And that included 6 days of hunting,
yes, please.
All your food,
yes, please.
All your lodging, guide service, and a red stag of any size.
Wow.
No, really?
Wow.
The world of big game hunting, that is a screaming deal. But the most important part, I knew 20 guys that have been on this hunt. Everybody said it's a fantastic hunt. So I didn't even hunt. I bought the hunt for my daughter. I carried her gun around. She shot a really nice red stag. We had a phenomenal experience. We spent 3 days in Buenos Aires afterwards visiting.
How cool.
And it was all because of Safari
Club. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
It was a super
That's exactly
cool
what
experience.
I was gonna say.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. But it's because of Safari Club and those relationships that you can go to all these banquets throughout the state and find out. You know, that's the most difficult part.
How
about,
often are these banquets?
So the big banquets are typically in late winter, early spring, February, March.
And those are
the
ones you can do the auction.
Anybody can go. And the Wisconsin chapter of the SCI has a yearly banquet right in Brookfield, a two-day event in Brookfield.
If you just go on the website, if you Google SCI Safari Club International, Wisconsin or Badgerland or Green Bay, you'll get all the information. But it's that networking, because one of the most difficult things about big game hunting is knowing where to go.
100%.
Yeah, because we all know people, and in some cases, I've had a situation where we had just horrible hunts.
No.
Bad representation, bad guides,
sure.
Not everything's
going
to
be great.
But you can shortcut a lot of that by networking and actually talking to the people that have been on these great hunts.
You can talk to people who've already done it. I mean, I want to be really clear about this. This is not just for hunters, because we were at a banquet a couple years ago, and there was a couple at our table, and the guy was just getting into hunting, and his wife was with him, and she was not interested in hunting whatsoever, and she ended up bidding on on a hunt because she thought it was going to go to Croatia. Instead, she thought it was going to go to Germany. Ended up, it was a hunt in Croatia. And so they bid on it, and they ended up getting like a $3,000 hunt for like $350. Right. No joke. Right. And so we saw them the next year, and she said, "Who cares about hunting? We stayed in a castle."
Right?
They stayed in a castle in Croatia for $350 for the whole week. She didn't want to hunt. She didn't care about hunting. She stayed in a castle in Croatia. Her husband got to hunt 1 or 2 days. She had the vacation of her life for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
And it was one of the greatest, she said it was one of the greatest experiences of my life that I never would have had if it weren't for taking a chance, taking a risk, pressing the yes button, and doing it.
You should do that every single day of your life.
And Danielle, I love the fact that you're going to press the yes button. You're going to head to South Africa with the Entrewiki. That's going to be awfully exciting.
I'm so excited.
I'm a little jealous. I might look at those dates and try to hang on to your coattails
on
that,
too. Well, that's our birthday month, so
it is.
That's my birthday present
to
myself.
It's well-deserved. You've been working your tail end off, and it's awesome to see you. You're going to come back from that, and you're going to have a different look and outlook on life.
Well, and that's a classic example of no-brainer. Like, I've been to this camp so many times. You've been to the camp.
Oh,
I've sent so many
no-brainer.
People. It's just like
Johnny Fetting and Johnny Fetting Safaris. I went 3 times within 2 years because it was so amazing. We got to get to the recipe.
Oh, no. Wow.
We have to get to the recipe.
You have arrived.
So in Vienna, everything hot dog is called a wiener, right? Well, in Vienna, Vienne is the word for Vienna, wiener. So the hot dog was invented in Vienna. Wiener schnitzel, schnitzel from Vienna, Wiener schnitzel. Get it?
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, we hunted this chamois. I thought we need to make Wiener schnitzel out of it, chamois Wiener schnitzel. Right. And I'm going to tell you, I discovered one of the greatest recipes that you can use with any meat on earth.
Ooh, do tell,
you
do tell.
Any tenderloin, and you cut it as thin as you can right off the bat.
Okay.
Take your favorite seasoning. I used Provider Crosshairs. Take your favorite
so
seasoning.
Delicious.
Mix it with flour. Do not egg coat your meat. Take your thin slices of meat and coat it in and dip it in the flour and seasoning and fry it on both sides.
Sounds
literally
like
a minute on each side. Literally a minute. And squeeze lemon juice over the top of it.
Lemon
it's
juice?
To die for. It's paper thin Wiener schnitzel. We're going to have the link on the website of the recipe, of the cooking segment, to take a look at it. Don't be afraid of it home. You can use wild game. You can use store purchased meat. You cut it as thin as you can across the grain.
You don't have to go to the Alps and
you
shoot
don't
a
have
chamois.
To. No, but it sure is awesome.
Wiener schnitzel.
It was so delicious. I'm telling you, it was so delicious. But you can do it with any meat. But the Gamsbok or the chamois that we used to cook it was the most tender wild game, the most tender meat I think I've ever had.
And you use the back the tenderloins?
We used the tenderloin. The back straps. We used the back straps.
They must have been tiny.
Dan's differentiating between back straps
they must have been
and
little.
Tenderloins. We call, I mean, most people, you know, in Wisconsin call the back straps tenderloin. Right. They're interchangeable. Absolutely delicious. We love having you along on
yes,
Raised in Wisco,
do.
On your civic medians throughout civic media stations throughout the state. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
Bye.
Said I spent 5 years in the bunk when the cancer took her from me.